And we're going to get back on our series that Jesus said. And I got to pick two more people today. And Miss Tammy, come on up here. I saw you was trying to hide behind curtain one. Come on up here. Miss Tammy, and I'm going to go with Jackie. Jackie, come on, Miss Jackie. Now, are y'all familiar with what Jesus said? Come on, y'all got to stand and face one another right here. Can't look at me now. Can't look at me. Y'all got to look at each other. And you got to do what Pastor says, right? Y'all got to agree now. See your head. Okay. All right, y'all ready? Counting down. Y'all ready? Y'all be praying for him. All right, Pastor says, raise your right hand. Pastor says, raise your left hand. Pastor says, stomp your right foot. Left foot. Oh, Jackie, you lost. She went out early, Miss Tammy. I know you was in deep intercession. I saw you there. Praise God. I'm glad y'all going out quick, because I try to think of what I'm going to say every Sunday morning. Somebody's got to lose. Somebody got to go out. But thank God for Jesus. When we out, Jesus is still saying what Jesus said. And this keynote scripture, and I thought I was about done, but I don't think so. As much contrasting as copying and cutting and pasting I did last night, I'm like, you know, Reed's got the third and fourth Sunday this month. He's got a message, third and fourth, right? Fourth and first. Okay, correct me. So he's got the fourth and first because he's got a heart full that he's got to get out to you. So our keynote scripture talking about, say, Jesus said. Yeah, there's like two scriptures in the Bible. One of them is Jesus wept, like the shortest scripture. Jesus wept. I found another one. Jesus said. Amen. Now, it might not be written right there, just Jesus said, but Jesus said a lot of things. And, you know, and everything, chapter and verse, is just written for what? Our benefit. It's not thus saith the Lord. This stopped right here on verse 2 and it picked up. We put it so we can find it easier. God said things to Moses that was, my God, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. God said all that to him. Moses wasn't up there, wait a minute, God. You said what now? He put it, the anointing. God put it in him and brought it out of him. I tell you, when God puts something in you, it's in you. Say yes to Jesus is in me. Amen. Say yes to Jesus. God gave it to me. Two, say yes to Jesus. It's anointed. If you'll say yes. Yes, Lord. Just say yes. Jesus said, John 12, 49, 50, for I have not spoken of myself, Jesus telling his disciples, but the Father which sent me, he has gave me commandment, not a suggestion. The Father gave Jesus this to say, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. That's good. Life everlasting. So whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said, I speak. I speak. You know, coming up in October, I'm going to get to go to a zoning board meeting, and I'm going to get to speak to a committee. Now, I've been thinking about doing all this study, but you know what? I said, I'm just going to trust you, Jesus. I read in my Bible that says, when you don't know what to say, and they bring you before the counselors or whatever, Jesus said, don't think about what you're going to pray. He said, I'll give you by the Holy Ghost favor to what to say. God's going to make me look smart. Amen. So here I am, Lord. You want the job to get done? You want to send me? Send me. And I thank you the favor is going before me and behind me. Surely goodness and mercy is behind me and favor is all around me. Because I'm going to do what God says to do. I'm going to say what he says to say. And we got a message board. I got a lot to say. God's got a lot to say through a message board. And that's all we want to do is upgrade our facility as the Lord directs us. And Pharaoh ain't going to get in our way. I'm talking about the world. Amen. Come on, Pharaoh's not getting, this is what God says to do. Jesus said, and let me pick you up. I said a lot in the last two series on this. I'm going to pick up what last thing I said. And I talked about how that, I'll just remind you the last thing before I say the next new thing this week. The last thing I said was Genesis 1:27, God created man, that's mankind. And he created us, mankind, in his image. In the image of God created him, male, say male, and female. Created he them. Dot, dot, period. That's it. There's only two genders. Male and female. Dot, dot, period. So, and I went a little bit deeper on that last message. You just go listen to that if you need to. So we're going to start in Genesis 1:28, next verse. It says, and God blessed the male and the female that he created in his image and in his likeness. See, God's not a man, but we're created in his image by the Spirit. God rejoices. God has emotions. God is happy, and God gets angry. We're created in his image and his likeness. Now, God gets angry over evil, so you should get angry over evil. Amen? You shouldn't be complacent. You shouldn't just wink at it. No, you stand for, we want to save people from evil, so we tell them the truth. If they think there's something more than male and female, they're confused, and we got to bring them truth. We got to deliver them out of this confusion. Anybody, amen? And I can name a lot that just personally I know. And you just got to say, here I am, Lord. Send me to speak truth. Amen? I might have put this a little high here. But anyway, so God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. It's not like something had happened and God's got to redo it. He's filled the earth. He's starting right here with Adam and Eve. Take this earth and fill it with my glory. See, when we have children, he calls it godly seed. That's bringing glory to the earth. And this was before the fall. Fill this earth up with my image and my likeness, with people. Amen? And God is enjoying this. He comes down and fellowships with Adam and Eve and the children for generations until the fall. Amen? God's enjoying this with his creation, with Adam. And subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Yes, even the spiders. And the snakes. Now, things were different back then in the garden. Snakes walked upright. Picture that. Wow. So you got to understand, when the curse came, the snake went from walking to crawling. Wow. Can you imagine a big python coming up and talking to you? Now, they talk. Adam and Eve communicated with the animals. Your parrot, you don't think your parrot talks? I don't have one, but I've heard my aunt had one. Polly want a cracker? It said, Polly want a cracker? Now, it doesn't have a conversation with you. Come on. It's not intelligent like you are, but it hears what you say, and a parrot will mimic it. Birds just make too big of a mess. If my kids brought birds home, boy, we would have a problem. Amen. Because I've been around some birds, and they make a mess. But anyway, Genesis 1:28, God says, be fruitful. In other words, increase. God wants to increase us more and more, not decrease. If we're going backwards, we're not in God's will and time and in plan. We should be going forward. That doesn't mean the devil's not attacking us, but we're supposed to be resisting him with what? With the word, with the sword, with the covenant that we have, reminding God of his covenant and claiming and speaking in the name of Jesus, taking authority over things now. Now, see, Adam didn't have anything to take authority over back then. There was no sin. There was no problem. There was just blessing. But he still had work to do. He had to go get the food. He had to work the garden. W-O-R-K, four-letter word. Blessed word. Say, work is a blessing. See, if you got a job, that's not a blessing. In other words, if you're just getting a paycheck, that's not a blessing. If you're just going to a job to get a paycheck, that's not a blessing. God's called you to work somewhere. Work is doing, if they don't pay me, I love it. That's work. But then they will pay you. You solve somebody's problem, that's working. Amen. What God has gifted you to do to help somebody else, that's work. Be fruitful, always increasing, not decreasing. Genesis 1:28. Multiply, don't be barren. Women are supposed to bring forth children under marriage, underneath the covenant. So when I hear, and I've had this in my family, when I hear that a husband and wife are having problems with conception, I just go to this scripture. What has God said? What has he said? Keep it simple. You just, if you want to conceive and you're not conceiving, keep saying that. Keep confessing that. And get until you believe it, and then you'll forget about it, and you'll have a kid. You'll have children. Now, the husband, we got to be, you know, that's got to happen. There's got to be the conception. But the doctor says you're barren, but God said be fruitful. So who are we going to believe? I'm not denying the facts. God changes the facts. Amen. That's what the anointing does. That's why Jesus came, to give us life everlasting, to destroy the curse that's in the earth. Now, the curse is still in the earth. But we're in the covenant. We're in the covenant. Hallelujah. Multiply. Don't be barren. Fill the earth. Subdue it. And have authority over all living things. The dogs didn't used to bite, Frankie. The dogs didn't used to bite Adam and Eve. But that's what the curse brought. It brought enmity. That curse brought enmity. The creation is cursed. The animals have fallen. It's all fallen. It's all got to be made new. Start over. Now, I mean, you got some dogs. You know what I mean? Dogs, you can train them right. But some, if you don't train them right, they're just going to, whatever their environment is, that's what they're going to be. You keep a dog chained up and don't never come around him, that's going to be a mean dog. How would you feel like to be chained up all your life and just get food every so often, be out there in the hot sun? You wouldn't be too happy either, right? Somebody could come around, you'd be growling at them too. Thank God we're not in the dog class. Amen? So don't treat your dog bad. Be good to the dogs. Moving right along, Genesis 1:29. Talking about God said, Jesus said. Remember, they're one. Genesis 1:29. God said, behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed. Bananas, plums, apricots, tomatoes, God made it all. Which is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which bears fruit yielding seed, it will be for your food. That's what you're going to eat. There's still things I have not eaten that I hadn't even seen yet that God created. Ain't that all? We still got so many things to experience on this earth. We got a lot of living to do. Come on, guys, we got a lot of living to do. For 1,000 years, when Jesus comes back on his earth, I'm going to be moving around. I'm going to go see some things. Get on my motorcycle and ride until I got to get on a ferry and go to some other earth and then ride. Amen. Come on. What do you want? That's what I'm going to enjoy doing. Stop somewhere and send me some good old fruit trees and just take me a big old bite. It ain't going to be no, hey, you're on my property. No, it's all God's property. See, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be, this land is your land, this land is my land, this land is God's land. Come on, we have to write a new song. Hallelujah. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Amen. We're going back to the garden. Come on, what's that rest of that verse, Tammy? Live on top of the world, right? There's going to be a lot of change take place when Jesus comes back. Good gosh, we ain't seen change. Wow. So, all these trees, there should be no hunger in this world. According to what God has said, we've made it a problem. Governments have made it a problem. They take and they don't distribute. I'm talking about governments. Say they will be good. Take our money, that's called taxes, come on, and say they're going to do one thing and do another. But God's keeping record. Come on. Now, we've got to be good stewards. That's why God puts us in places to make sure. Bring up the records. I'm not called to do that. I'm not called to be a politician. But thank God God has called some. We've got to have them. Just think how bad it would be if all the good ones wasn't there. Come on. There's good ones. We've got to send them there. We've got to train some that's called to stand in those offices and watch over what we send in. Amen? But remember, we're not judged on where it goes. We're judged on what we want it to do. Amen? We're judged by our hearts. Caesar said, give it, but God says, give to Caesar what's Caesar, but give to me what's me. God, you get my heart, you get my life. And Lord, I pray that it goes and it's done for righteous things. And you know what? I believe God takes our money and separates it and makes sure that it does go to those things. I just trust him. When we give something to him, when we give our word, this is what we want to happen to it. In other words, set it, give it an assignment. Give it an assignment. Amen? So, there should be no hunger in the world. God has provided more than enough food for everyone in this world to be fed as long as we live on this earth. That's what he set it up to be. So if there's hunger, it's not by God's design. Now we're going to go on to chapter 2, Genesis 2. And Kelsey, I would have had you a copy, but the printer ate it last night. It jammed. It wasn't Jillian jam. It jammed, and I didn't get in there and mess with it. So I'll give you a little time. Genesis 2, verses 16 through 17. Everybody say, God is good. And the Lord God commanded, we're talking about what God has said. And going back to Genesis is a good place to just see what he said. Those first two chapters of what God has said. And then chapter 2, verses 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, this is Adam and Eve, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, good stuff, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, I won't say it like the Hebrew says it, in the day that you eat thereof, dying you will die. Dying you will die. That's what the Hebrew says. Now here comes this walking, talking snake. Now the serpent was more subtle. See, we think about sometimes, why didn't the devil choose an elephant to deceive Eve? You know, as strong and powerful as that elephant was, why didn't he send an elephant? But he chose the snake because he was subtle. He was deceiving. The snake was crafty. Just to look at a snake. Just think, you know, what we see him on the ground, think of it standing up with that old snake. Tongue slivering out. He was just crafty. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And this snake said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden? God has said, you shall not eat of it. Now this is Eve saying, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She didn't say it, dying you shall die. She said, lest you die. And the serpent said to Eve, talking to the snake, this is kind of like normal conversation. They've been talking to the animals that, you know, y'all, I don't go home and have a conversation, long conversations with my animals now. Because the curses work, they don't talk like they used to. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God, see that now they're bringing God into, for God, see they're changing what God has said to be a lie. And God didn't say this. For God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I don't want nothing that the devil's offering. Come on. You can take that back when the devil came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness. With those three temptations, Jesus always referred back to what God has said and twisted, tried to get Jesus to use the word for his selfish gain. But Jesus didn't hear the Father say, turn that stone into bread. See, that's the key. Because Jesus said, I do nothing except I hear the Father say. And he heard a snake. He heard this, the devil say, but he didn't hear. See, there's two voices. There's good voices and there's evil voices. And Jesus knew the difference because he came from God. Come on. Jesus is the Word. He came from the bosom of the Father. And you know what? I tell you what, a baby knows its mother. Come on. A baby knows that mama. Mamas and babies, they just have a relationship that the husbands don't have, don't they, Reed? But, you know, we can help them with their cars. We can make their cars look good, make them sound good. So We got daddy things, and then there's mama's things. There's only things a mama know have with just that baby. They get along. Amen? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And a strange, you see, we need to know that voice like a mama knows her baby's voice. Mama wouldn't do that. Mama wouldn't treat me like that. That's why we need to know the Father's voice. God wouldn't act like that. Come on. So I want to take us now, that's all been kind of old covenant, what God had said in the beginning. Now let's jump over a little bit and just kind of contrast this to the new covenant. I'm still going to be in there, but I want to contrast some things that's happening from the old and the new. I love that there's this old song out there. I think it was, I like to watch The Apostle. It's, you know, it's kind of still kind of a rough movie, but got a soundtrack in it that I can't remember. I think it's Lyle Lovett that sings it. I took off the old coat and put on the new. Talked about two coats. Being born again, I was a dead man, but I got born again. I took off the old coat and I put on the new. I just love that song. It's like, take out that old man and put on the new. See, we got to bring this, what God has said, into the new covenant. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. The scriptures don't try to prove the existence of God. They begin with the truth that everyone knows there is a God. In the beginning, God. See, a lot of people, they won't try to prove the existence. No, God said, in the beginning, God said. This is exactly the point of Romans 1, 18 through 20. Can you get me that, Kelsey? Romans 1, 18 through 20. I might get there just for reference sake. Romans 1, for the wrath of God. Now, we're talking about in the beginning. The scriptures don't try to prove the existence of God. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them in the beginning. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation, what? That's Genesis. From the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I don't care what people say. They might deny there's a God. I don't care. They know there's a God. Why? I believe the scriptures that prove God created me in his image and his likeness. I won't argue with them. I'll just give them the truth. Because that truth, if they'll receive it, will set them free. And not only will it set them free, Jesus said, if you hear me, if you see me, in other words, if you'll just believe on Jesus, he said, we'll come and we'll manifest ourselves to you. We'll make ourselves known to you. Past reasoning to a heart knowing. Amen. And when I made that decision for Jesus, when I wanted that relationship, God delivered me, just like Moses was sent to deliver. God delivered me from alcohol, desire. He delivered me. He took the cusser out of my cuss. He took the cusser out that had been in me for years, delivered me. And I knew God was real. He proved it when I sought him. When I truly sought him, bam. Amen, he showed up. And he's still showing up. He's still showing up. There's an intuitive knowledge. This is what Romans is saying. There is an intuitive knowledge of God on the inside of every person that comes into this earth who has ever lived. Ever lived. We shouldn't argue with anyone about God's existence. We just go past their heads to their hearts and touch the part of them that knows there's a God. And then just walk away from that conversation and let God. See, Apollos and Paul, one of them, what? One of them sowed and one of them watered. But who gave the increase? God will give the increase. See, God knows where they need to increase. He knows how to meet a supernatural need that increase, wherever it may be. See, I don't, unless he gives it to me by the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that's as what? As he wills, as God, not me. Now, I walk in love, but you can say, I've heard my pastor say things to me that we didn't even ask him, and he knew it wasn't for about us, but we went back and testified. Jim, you know what you said? We were coming up for prayer, but you spoke it out through the message. We just want to let you know you heard from God. And we changed course. We changed the course. You know what I mean? Because we're seeking God by the gift of the Holy Ghost. Will change. He'll make you say something supernatural. Amen? And a lot of times you don't even know it. You might think you just like Moses. But Lord, who am I? I know. I'll fill your mouth. Amen? Page 3. If you have page numbers. Everybody okay? I'm a little cold. Can I turn the heat up a little bit? Well, I got some conversation on that, didn't I? Man, I touched something there, Tammy. We touched them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is that? Let's see. No, that's my tuner radio. That won't work, will it? It looks the same as the thermostat, but that's a radio app. Y'all want to hear that? Y'all want to hear that? Watch this. It ain't listening. Anyway. Boop. I know what it's doing. It's circulating. See, I think the compressor's off, but the air is still circulating. I don't want to get y'all too hot. But anyway, now we're moving on to page 3. My gosh, it's early. Hallelujah. Still talking about the Creator. God is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Revelations 1:8 and Revelations 11. Says, he existed before anything else. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. God created everything else that exists. John 1:3 and Colossians 1:16-17. So some sci-fi fanatics try to present God as nothing but a superior alien. But that's not what the scripture says. God doesn't just have superior intellect and know how to use natural law more than we do. He is the creator, not a manipulator. He's a creator. And he created everything that we see, taste, hear, smell, and touch came from God. He is awesome, omnipresent, omnipotent is our God. He's God Almighty. And he came and let a woman named Mary raise God. God took his creation and trusted his creation to raise God. Ain't that, you're talking about God, the Almighty God. See how humble he is? How trusting he is of what he created? He created us knowing that we had the capacity to raise God, to be. Ain't that awesome? He trusted Mary. He just like he knew, he said, I know Abraham. Abraham, I know you. See, God just don't. He just don't pick and choose, you know. He ain't gonna choose Pharaoh's wife to have Jesus. That ain't gonna work. No, he knew Abraham, that Abraham would be a covenant partner with God. That when the time came, he knew Abraham, that believed God even when it wasn't believable, and gave him a son, his only son Isaac. He believed God that if he would take him up on the mountain, when God asked for his son, his only son. That look now, Abraham, I need you to give me, I need an offering, Abraham. I need your best. I need Isaac. He knew Abraham. Abraham didn't question God. Got his stuff packed, went to bed, laid his clothes out, everything, got up bright and early in the morning, said, Isaac, come on, we're going. Got his only son, Isaac. What'd he do? Was obedient. Even to the death of his son. Didn't tell Isaac everything. Come on. You don't need to tell your kids everything. You just need to trust God. If God says, do this, you do it. Took his only son. and went to that mountain where God said, offer him up to me. And then Isaac's pretty smart. He's seen Dad do the sacrifices. He knows Daddy. You need to know Jesus. You need to know the Father. You need to know the Word of God. There's a difference between what God says and what the devil says. Because there's people out here sacrificing, saying they're going to sacrifice their family, their children in the name of God, and it's the devil. And they take the word and they twist it. Because if you read what Abraham did, he did it by faith. And he was going to give God back what God gave him. That's covenant. He cut covenant with God. But Abraham knew if God was going to kill his son that he would have to raise him from the dead, because Abraham had a promise in that seed that God gave him. God knew Abraham, and Abraham knew God. And if God said in Isaac, the promise is, if God was going to slay him, God was going to raise him from the dead. But see, you got to know God. God's intention was not to kill Isaac. His intention was to bring the promise, Jesus. Because when you get up on that altar, and when Isaac is laid there on the altar, and when Abraham has the dagger out here, and he's getting ready to slay his son, the angel cries out from heaven and says, hold the dagger. I see now that you are faithful, even unto the death. And then he said, go get, there was a goat in the bush. But Abraham said, God will provide. He told his son, when Isaac asked him, he said, Dad, as we went up the mountain, Dad, here's the wood. I got the wood, but Dad, where's the lamb? Isaac said, where's the lamb? This is important. Abraham said, God will provide. See, God will provide the lamb. So they get up on the mountain, and he's getting ready to offer. Hadn't heard anything. But God said, give me, offer up your son Isaac. And when he's getting ready, the angel says, no, hold fast. Because now I've seen Abraham. I've seen that he will do what I've called him to do. But see, and when he looked over there, there was a goat. Not a lamb, but a goat was in the thicket. Why? Because God needs your faith to provide the promise. And when Abraham said, God will provide the lamb, he sent Jesus on down the road. Because now God had Abraham's covenant word that I'm going to bring the lamb. God will provide the lamb, and he provided Jesus. He was speaking it by faith, the Lamb of God, not the goat. See, the goat showed up. But that ain't, he sacrificed the goat, but Jesus, Father by faith, sacrificed Jesus. Because Abraham said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide the lamb. See, that was God's whole intention. He had to get Jesus prophesied that Abraham said, God will provide the lamb. And he did. Thousands of years later. But here we are because of that sacrifice. Because of Abraham's faith in God, Jesus came. Mary was able to conceive and bring forth the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. See, that's how God, he knew Abraham. He knew what he would do. But what he had to do, he had to just get him to confess that God would be the provider. See, God, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He knew Abraham. He knew what he would say. He needed that word. He needed that covenant word, and he got it. Thank God. Hallelujah. Abraham was a man after God's heart, just like David, and trusted him with his only son. And then God so richly blessed Abraham after that. There were so many, he said, the stars, if you can number them, Abraham, so shall your seed be. We're part of that promise. Once we get born again, we're the seed of Abraham. Ain't that awesome? Hallelujah. Jesus said, you're blessed. Jesus said, you're healed. Keep saying what Jesus said. And I don't care. When it don't look like things are changing, keep saying. Because you're changing things. I said, you're changing things. Keep speaking to the mountains. Don't say what you have. You want to have what you say. So don't keep saying what you have, what you see, taste, hear. No, that's not confession to faith. Say what you want, and you'll have what you say. I'm not trying to confuse you there. Don't say what you see if it's negative. In other words, when I go to the doctor, I see the report, and I need to work on my weight. I know that, but when I keep hearing the curse, I keep hearing generational curses. The doctor is just relying on those checks that we put, that we're probable cause is you're going to have this somewhere in the bloodline. But then I go to God, my covenant partner, and Jesus took our infirmities and gave us his righteousness. Amen. That we are now right standing with God. Jesus took his blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. So every morning I cry, mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Your mercies are new every morning. And then that's the good fight of faith. Good fight of faith that we fight. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. That, Lord, you have said so many good things, and you are still speaking. Your life everlasting, Lord. I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking these words of faith, Lord, for letting us know the things that you have said, that you are a covenant God. And Lord, I just thank you right now for your anointing, the anointing that's upon your word, upon your people. That Lord, as we leave every day from this place, Lord, we leave encouraged, Father God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting God's goodness, revealing yourself to us in supernatural ways, Father. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I just speak blessing over your people today, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting God's glory and power in our lives. Lord, in 2022, Lord, you gave us a theme for double for our trouble for 2020 and 2021. Lord, we're still believing that, Father. Even in the midst of our trouble, Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you are working in our lives. You're working. Lord, our future is bright because you have gone before us, Lord. You have laid out the foundations of this world before you even put Adam, before you put us into this earth. You provided every good and every good thing. And Lord, no matter what we see, we're not going to be moved by what we see, but by what we believe. And Father, we believe that you are good. And you have good things for us, Father. And though the world, as it gets darker and darker, like you said it would, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your glory. You just keep turning our lights up. We thank you, Father, for your anointing to see and to know, to have a seeing and a knowing in the Spirit. And we give you the praise for that, Lord, that we are not alone in this world. And we thank you for that, Father, for the covenant relationship that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for strengthening Judy Munger, Father God, for this attack that she's been under. We thank you, Lord, for healing her lungs. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, we've spoken and agreed with her heart to come into rhythm, that Lord, she would not have AFib, but she would have the right heart rhythm, that her heart would beat, that her heart would beat normally, Father God, not too fast, not too slow, but just right. We thank you, Lord, that she and Leo, they're a covenant. They're a covenant with you, Lord, and they walk in the blessings. No more passing out. No more blood flow restricted in her body. In Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for their obedience, for serving you, Father. And we thank you for those might, for your blessings, chasing them down and overtaking them. Lord, we thank you for bringing Bootsy, Lord, in a place to where she can't get out, but Lord, you get in. And you're around her, protecting her, not only her, but those around her, Father. She's blessed, that she fulfills her days here on this earth with joy and with peace and with comfort, knowing that you are with her, you are her comforter, that you never leave her, you never forsake her, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for sending us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ascending upon the church with your anointed power and supernatural gifts that we can see and know down here, Father God, to win others into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. We speak blessings over this neighborhood, over those that are not saved in this area right now. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for our light right now going forth out of this community. Lord, for sending people in here that need to have a relationship with you, that, Lord, will quit just riding by in the parking lot, but will come in the doors of this church and give their life to you in Jesus' name. That, Lord, they would get hungry and thirsty for your word. We thank you, Father. Lord, we pray for this nation. We lift up our nation before you, Father God. We call righteousness to avail in our nation. That, Lord, continue to expose darkness and corruption, Father God, and let your light so shine in us and in your people, Father God, that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in this world. Lord, we lift up our leaders and we pray for all men in authority around the world right now that they would get right with you. That, Lord, they would cry out to Jesus. Lord, repent and turn and call upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Call upon you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that our minds be opened up to the truth. Lord, we pray for all the prophecies, Lord, that your men and women have prophesied, those words of encouragement, Lord, seeing the end times, Lord, that we can have good times in the end times, that we can be about telling people about the good news. And we give you the praise, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody need personal prayer?
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.